So this is about ORMs, Duke, and some of the frameworks for database access from Java, right? Mm-hmm. So your idea, your topic. Please start.
Just put it on.
And just don't touch it.
Okay.
In fact, probably stop it and start it so we can start again.
It's already started.
Yeah, okay.
We cut it down later.
Yeah.
Do you want to do those? Don't you want to start again? Put it off? Then we can throw away the other one.
Fix it.
So basically, I was imagining this being a more open discussion. I have a lot of questions about what's currently being used out there, what you're happy with, what you're unhappy with. What your experience has been using ORMs. Like I mentioned before, I've had some experience with Apache Cayenne, which is pretty old now. We're thinking of getting rid of that. But the idea was to replace with Hibernate. I hear both love and hate for Hibernate. And I'm open to other ideas too. I'm very curious about Duke.
Can I just say a quick show of hands? I know Duke's been mentioned. Is anyone using Duke? Yeah. Cool.
Okay. It's famous.
Okay. Should we start with?
Yeah, let's.
Is anyone?
So I think it would be great for us to make a small introduction because we've proposed and maybe we have some tape on it and then for the open discussion.
So we are using Hibernate and we have many different kind of troubles. It's not that we don't get them. Running, we don't get it running somehow, but it's always causing problems here and there, and it's sometimes very often very difficult to find the problem, the bug, where they are. And I run across Duke, and it sounded interesting. I never used it, but I'm just interested in if it's possible to use it, production ready. What your experience is. Is it just a shifting of trouble into a different area, or is it really a solution that helps solving the problems we have with Hibernate or with our ORM systems?
Well, first of all, I have to say that about this topic, I'm very strongly opinionated. So, and a little biased towards some specific solutions. Like, I work a lot in the database field. That's my main field. So I may come from a different perspective too. I work mostly with Postgres, so I may say some things about Postgres. And if you do something else, think it twice. And I've basically been investigating a lot of ORMs. It's a lot of topic of love. And I found that most of them really suck and they get it completely wrong. They don't know what they're trying to do. I'm sure that if you haven't read about something which is called the Vietnam of ORMs. It's an article about how difficult it is to build an ORM. I built one in the past. I will never do that again. It's a painful experience, and you learn that it's really hard because there are different domain problems, the relational and the object model. And the best thing you can do, in my opinion, is to basically, we have SQL, we were talking about relational databases. It's a very powerful language. You can do a lot of things with it. And it's higher level even than Java. It's a declarative language. And most ORMs try to hide it. Where my opinion is exactly the opposite. Try to leverage the power of SQL. That's if you're using a database like Postgres, which has very powerful SQL. You can do things orders of magnitude faster in SQL than in Java code, because you need to transfer back and forth a lot of data, which you can already process in the database. So leverage that SQL. And ORMs, most ORMs, indeed ORMs in general, don't let you do that. They first of all try to abstract in the call for database compatibility, which is something which basically renders the SQL they launch the throw to the database to a minimum subset. So you're killing off a lot of features for the database. And instead, go for a framework which allows you to do SQL and to do it right and to leverage that power of SQL. And one example I have found out and we're using very, very heavily, it's Duke, Duke.org. I've been talking to the creator of Duke a couple of times and they're doing great. And basically the idea behind Juke in this 1 minute is to basically leverage the power of SQL, I mean to write SQL, but in a type safe manner. So you can, for example, use Juke to connect to your database, grab your data structures, transform that into Java classes, which are only referenced for type safety purposes, and write SQL from Java in a very fluent manner, very similar to what you would read if you would write pure SQL, but it's type safe. So it's type safe, and at the end it generates a query, which is thrown to the database. And it's pretty cool. And I don't know if it's needed or not, but I have some code samples that I could show. And it's short, so sorry about that. I don't know if it's a good place to do it or not, but if you're interested in these topics, I'm co-organizing a Postgres conference in Europe in October in Madrid. So if you're interested in Postgres or databases in general, and you can come to Madrid in October, nice weather. And it's a very, very cheap conference, and feel free to join. And there I'll be doing a 3-hour tutorial about JDBC and Postgres, specifically talking about these topics, also JDBC and some of stuff.
But that sounds to me very similar to my Kubernetes. But
yes, in the past I've been using a lot of my Kubernetes, and it's also very good. There are some differences though, and I prefer Juke. The main difference is that with my Kubernetes, there is no type safety. I mean, you can write a query, generate query, so it's very good too, because you can do whatever you want. You can leverage the power of SQL, but it's your responsibility to write it correctly, and it's more cumbersome to use compared to Juke, because you have to write the XML files for the queries, and there's some degree of programmability in using like if statements or cases or whatever, but with Juke, it's Java, so you can program whatever you want, yet the query is still going to be type safe. So I think it's an improvement.
I mean, one comment I would make about this, because I know there's a lot of Orm hate, Orm love, or whatever, but I mean, like, with anything, it's sort of like, number one, it's like, what problem are you trying to solve, right? Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, you know, say that you were talking about the power of SQL and its performance, right? That's primarily if you want to, say, operate on large numbers of rows simultaneously in the database, right? Whereas if you're writing business logic where you're loading an aggregate in from the database, modifying it, and then writing back the changes, that's sort of a different kind of access pattern that I could argue that ORMs deal with quite nicely. And ORMs don't deal with the bulk update problem quite as well. Don't really deal with it quite as well. So number one, I mean, it's like there's different problems. Right?
Sure.
And then number two, right, is for any given technology that you pick, there's a bunch of pros and cons.
Sure.
Right? And so, you know, say with ORM, I get nice separation of concerns. My business logic is completely separated from data access, right? But, you know, there's downside to bulk updates. And then, like, you could compare Ibatis and Juke, which I don't know anything about Juke, but it appears to be a DSL. Right, for writing. And that's kind of interesting, but and it's type safe, but on the other hand, I no longer have a SQL express SQL statement that I can paste into a command line prompt.
You can
get that.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? I guess you can get it, because you can get the same thing out of Hibernate.
Yeah.
Say with Ibatis, it's there and it's just there. So it's sort of like, it might be good to actually try and think about the problems you're trying to solve, and then actually think about the pros and cons of the specific technologies, rather than making blanket statements like ORMs suck, or ORMs are good, blah, blah, blah.
Well, of course there are always use cases, and I'm sorry for being so strongly opinionated about that.
But it's a very nuanced, complex issue, and if you make blanket statements, I mean, I don't want to attack you or anything.
No.
But because even like 10 Vietnam, though, it's like kind of way off.
No, it's an interesting article bringing a view on why ORMs are the concept of having an ORM, it's flawed. So it's not that I'm not saying that you should have a layer that may abstract you from the database. That's of course very interesting. That makes a lot of sense. It's just the approach of making a relation between the object world and the relation world is not gonna work.
Well, that once again, that's a blanket statement. I can show you many apps that work quite nicely with Hibernate.
The thing that they work, you know, it's of course a blank statement. I'm just supporting someone else's opinion, the guy who wrote the article.
Yeah, but it's wrong. Right? you can build some kinds of apps that work with Hibernate.
What I'm trying to say is just that ORM, in concept, in my opinion, is a bad design pattern. It may work, of course, there are bad design patterns that work. Windows works, but it's not a good design. This, in my opinion, the same thing. And regarding your first question, I've seen projects that aim for small. It's like we're just doing this stuff, and this is small. We're not aiming for big data, so it's okay to use Hibernate. But they may very soon run into performance problems, even they are very small, because of how Hibernate does things. And that's because it's an ORM. And be it Hibernate on any other one, they would end up with the same problems. Like for example, it's very easy to show it with the example. With Hibernate or ORMs in general, if you want to bring data from more than one table, you need to choose to either do lazy or eager loading of that data. A bad decision there. Just thousands of records, not more than that, not big data. Just thousands of records may render your database unusable because Hibernate may throw, or for the matter, any other ORM may be throwing thousands of subqueries to the database. That kills it.
Yeah, I actually ran into that problem myself in the last company. What had happened was we were processing a large list of records, and the original developer didn't really think about what the ORM was going to do whenever he accessed a property. He'd access a property, that would go back to the database, access another property from that, go back to the database, and so you had this exponential increase in queries.
Yeah.
Never completed.
That's in my experience as well. One of the advantages of an ORM is that it's abstracted and it's easy to use, but the problem is, because it's abstracted, you don't pay attention to what's really going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I've often experienced performance issues because of that.
But on the other hand, you can do fetch joins, right, that easily load related references.
Yeah, the thing is that statically, you have to, I mean, you need to take the decision at compile time. And it may not be the right thing.
Exactly. In some use cases, it might be right to use eager, in some cases, it might be better to use lazy. So.
Yeah, so that was actually our problem too. We had a set of entities that did the lazy conversion, and then we had the same, basically, entity set up to do the other way around.
Yeah,
you can see two versions of the same entity that are bringing in different data.
But you can do it at the query level, right?
Yeah, you can do it with two.
And then you optimize for one use case and you completely destroy the other.
You end up with two different queries, right? One query that just fetches the main entity, and then you have another query that's doing fetch joins to load in related entities. And depending on what you need to do, you use the appropriate query.
I think from
but using the query is not really the, then you again, you don't have that objects thing. You just set your main object and you want to browse all your references, and that really destroys the idea of the ORM again. Because then when you have the different queries, then you can also do that model with
if you're gonna use your whatever data access layer you're using as a toolkit to support all these different access patterns, then for me it makes sense to use something that's lower level that exposes the SQL itself in a more natural way, which is why I prefer things like Ibatis and Jinj to higher level ORMs. I understand if you've got a fairly simple use case, it seems great to use
I guess the apps that I've worked on over the years, I mean, they were, I mean, it was quite large, complex object graphs, And the win for me was that Hibernate would keep track of which objects in that graph had been modified, and then generate the appropriate insert statement or update statements, right? So which for me came across as a huge win, and then I was able, if I had performance issues, right? Because not all of your code has to be like optimal performance, right? And if I wanted to, I could then tweak individual queries to say load this entity and fetch join related entities, and I get fairly optimal SQL coming out and not have the one plus or the n one plus n problem, right? And it worked quite well, and the thought of having to redo all of that with SQL statements by hand, well, actually having to code it, would, you know, just struck me as being quite an unpleasant experience.
But sure, nobody's talking about writing SQL by hand and doing it automatically by hand. That's really our problem in the first place.
But like, for instance, so, does Duke do change tracking?
Right.
So does it know what's changed and what has to be updated?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah. Maybe you can say a little bit more about the way, because I don't really know it either, the way how they map two objects.
Yeah. Well, that's very easy. Because first, to give a brief introduction about as I'm saying that they're so very different domains, the relational, the object world. What I basically recommend is to have like an intermediate layer, basically a data transfer object. Data transfer objects. So you map from the database to this very similar to database objects, which may not be the same as your business objects. And then you map from these objects to your business objects. And this is something very easily to accomplish with MyBatteries or Duke for the matter. Because you create objects which can be then created on the fly with Duke. This has like by default type records. And you use these objects to then map to your business logic. You can do very cool things, like for example, right now with Java 8, you can process those in streams. So you can even get rid of the data transfer objects. They're immediate objects, basically. And you can work with your business value objects directly from those. But the main idea I would recommend is to basically think about this middle layer. So a layer which translates more or less one-to-one from the relational database to your objects, regardless of whether they match or not, the business objects, and then transfer from those to the business objects. And just to give another example of the limitations of not using the SQL, and even for small things, do you know the comments platform Discuss to externalize the comments on the website, right? They, at first, they were using, I don't remember, NoRank, whatever, and MySQL's database. And if you think about comments, they're nested structures, they're hierarchical, right? So if you want to show a given comment, you need to then find the parts. And that meant a lot of queries to the database. You have to render a single page. So it's not big data, you just render 50 comments or 100 comments. That requires many, many, many queries to the database, dozens of queries to the database, and the performance was terrible. They realized at some point that Postgres, they switched to Postgres because it has recursive queries. I don't know if you've heard of recursive query, that you can imagine what it is, right? So they switched to Postgres and get rid of the ORM because ORMs don't do recursive queries. And within a single query, they could render the whole comment tree. And performance improved by a factor of 20. So toward one order of magnitude performance improved. And this is just a small thing. It's not big data, it's just a small thing. And you cannot try, if you think about how do we map recursive queries to business objects, that's a really difficult problem. So that's what I'm saying, is think about, this is of course my opinion, think about the relational world, try to map it one-to-one to some objects, and then try to use those from your business logic.
So when do I should use Duke, because all the other arguments of you is also in Hibernate and JPA and so on, because I also can map a meta model with JPA. JPA 2.1, there are graph entities to create your the joins and data fetching. So when should I use Juke?
Well, the thing is that if you're using advanced, powerful SQL, with using Hibernate and JPA, you basically have to restore to the method of writing SQL ad hoc SQL rather than using those features. And so you end up using none of their features. And so why to use them? I mean, especially because they should both provide an abstraction. And if you frequently need to break the abstraction, that means that it's not a good fit.
But when do I break these abstractions?
Well,
with the recursive SQL, and it's obvious, but
since the moment you use any query by hand, you're basically breaking the abstraction.
But with the criteria API from JPA,
For example, as far as I remember, the criteria API does not support windowing functions.
Does not support what?
Windowing functions. Window functions. Which are a very powerful, very easy to use SQL feature. So a window function is like aggregates, like for example a count or a sum or average, but which work in windows. So an aggregate returns only one row. One result as a processing of many, whereas a window function may return more than one result. And it's effectively a window which can find the depth or the size of the window, and it moves along all the rows and produces many outputs of results. They're very, very useful, even for simple aggregates, because you can specify ordering within the window for computing the aggregate. Like for example, you want to aggregate some text in a given order. If you just do a concat, or whatever in your database, that operation is not ordered. Whereas if you use window functions, you can do the same with ordering. So they're very powerful, it's simple to use, and they're not supported in those APIs. So all those APIs that try to mimic SQL are lagging always behind. Because SQL is huge, it's very powerful, it's very rich. And these APIs are just a minor subset. Besides that, most ORMs think that they are the only ones interacting with the database. Yes. They have caches and they have many things, and they think they're the only ones. And the database was originally and still used today as something that may be used by more than one application, right? At least there's always some console that the VBAs may use, and then subtle things start to break very easily with these ORMs because they think they're all the one in charge of the database. Like for example, in my opinion, designing the database, I mean creating the schema from JPA, Hibernate, it's something very, very bad. Because you're assuming you're the only one that designs and uses the database, maybe the truth. And of course you cannot use advanced features, well not advanced features, normal features like strict validation of the database. I'm not talking about business logic, data validation, right? Or triggers. Rules or data restrictions, you're not able to do that. So that's why my approach is completely different. Rather than ORM, do something like ROM, relational to object. So you design your database with the tools, whatever tools you want. You build the database schema, and then using tools like Juke or MyBackups or something, well, for example, you can generate automatic code from your database. It connects to the database as a Hibernate aspect. But it supports everything, like user-defined functions and so on. So it generates some classes for you, and then using that classes, you can do type-safe query generation.
I have a question about Jukebox, or is this right? Yeah. I was using Ibatis, and I preferred it to Hibernate because I was working with Hibernate, and when I wanted to change something, it was maybe lost update or lost DB. Sometimes I could not delete some stuff because I said I cannot delete because some key is using in any other row. And I was Googling, and it was really hard to solve this problem. And when I use it with Ibatis, I love it to change it with SQL. And my question is, will you prefer when you know my scheme is changing very often? So when I have SQL, I have to change all my SQL queries. Maybe it's the same with Jukes, and I have a problem. Maybe it's better than in this case to use Hibernate.
Well, if in my opinion, if your schema is changing very fast, I would question why it's changing so fast in first place. If it's just because at some tables there's some highly variable data, maybe I would go for data types that support that more loose schema, like a JSON data type in the database.
Well, I mean, I'll give you an example that's sort of kind of different to yours, right? So, you know, like, I mean, the time before last I used Hibernate in Angular, and it was a startup, right? So we didn't have to deal with DBAs. We, as the developers, owned the database, right? So, you know, so there, the fact that Hibernate was caching was a win, right? It was a performance win. Also, we actually generated the database schema from the OR mapping,
mm-hmm.
right? Which meant that we could just work in terms of our objects, and then the schema, kind of effectively at development time, we would test using an in-memory database, H2?
Yeah,
kind of a while ago. And so we had super fast running tests, and because the schema was automatically generated, we didn't have to worry about updating DDL or anything like that. And things were changing because our domain model was evolving as we gained deeper insight into the domain, right? And so this was definitely a win. And then when it was time to sort of update the production database, we then have to kind of do a quote a diff to see what changes, what migrations we needed to apply. And sometimes we just point Hibernate at it and let Hibernate add the columns just automatically, right? And then other times, because we changed the tables, we actually had to do some proper migration. But in that scenario, that was super convenient, right? You know, because everything was driven from our object model and then hence the OR mapping, we didn't, you know, we had this super efficient workflow. Whereas, once again, I don't know Juke, but I think if I was to use Juke, I'm guessing my workflow would not be as simple as that.
But I think you could, I don't know if you did, but you could run into problems because you might have queries. Hibernate queries, or just column names used, or attribute names used in queries, which are strings. And as I understand, my hope is that Juke will throw you compile time errors in case you rename some attribute and don't change the attribute name in your query. Juke would generate a compile time error.
Well, this is sort of a static dynamic argument, right?
Yeah.
But you know, then we would just run, you know, our test would fail because things would break, right? And
yeah.
So you can tell me that theoretically what I was doing was wrong and never ever would work, which is kind of your argument.
Well, my argument is to check the protocol.
But in reality, it was reasonably effective. And so, but yet again, if I was in a DBA-dominated enterprise, that approach wouldn't really work, right? So once again, it's kind of context. And then the other thing I would throw out is, Juke appears to be perfect.
Love it,
right? Tell me about how great it is, and tell me what's wrong with it.
Right.
So that's what I want to know too.
That's what I want to know too.
Yeah.
What other troubles do I get?
Because we're getting
it's a low level toolkit. So Hibernate, it's not just, so it's something like Hibernate. You don't just get the or get all the caching functionality and the object unique in.
Change tracking, which I...
Well, you get change, Juke does the change
tracking
as well, but it doesn't do anything, it doesn't do the caching, it doesn't do unique.
Identity management.
Identity management stuff. So if you're having stuff that's loaded into memory and is long running, and you've got objects in memory for a long time, so the identity management stuff is abused, then
yeah.
the
that's code that you have to write yourself if you're going to use something like Jude. The use case that I'm using it out of the moment, we tend to load stuff in, do a few manipulations on it, and then write it back pretty quickly. So it works really well for us. The caching identity doesn't really add much value. And the use case that I have. So for us, it's kind of having access to, being able to work with the database first, which is the way that is doing things, and then writing the code afterwards. Mm-hmm. And something like Jupyter works really well for us. And if you've got a case like where you're running code first, and then you've got complete freedom to do whatever you want with the database as a persistent code, then I could work pretty well for that.
Yeah, I have a question for your approach. You say you were generating the database out of your objects.
Not me, that's Chris.
Yeah, but why do you do that? And why do you not choose an object database or a NoSQL database if you're not actually concerned about how your objects are stored?
That's a really good question, right? I mean, that is one of the ironies is that, say, I mean, you know, for the longest time, we as Java developers were writing object-oriented code, and I suspect we still are, and we're still having to map our objects. But also for the longest time, using anything other than a SQL database was not fashionable, right? You know, obviously over the past few years, NoSQL databases are now popular, and they have certain advantages, but then you still actually have kind of a mapping issue, right? You got to map your objects into whatever sort of unit of storage.
You know, I studied programming Java in about 1996, I think, and already then there were object databases.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's like object design, but they don't exist. I mean, within Versant, right? I mean, there were tiny, tiny companies versus Oracle, MySQL, Postgres.
Yep.
And it's only really been in recent years that any alternatives to SQL, I think, have got any traction, right?
So there are some graph databases that are actually a better one-to-one mapping to objects than relational database.
Yeah. It seems to me that for this use case, you've actually introduced an abstraction layer that you don't actually need.
But you are forced sometimes in the companies or enterprise because Oracle has to be there, so that means you cannot choose your database of your own.
Yeah.
And that's also the thing that, let's say, my company or in our company, we have a huge department knowing how to run Oracle.
Yeah.
So if you start with Cassandra, MongoDB, I don't know what, you are in hiring, increasing the risk of failing. Because then somebody has to learn new one. But then, just a question to that. So is that, because what I saw in the Juke is you are transferring SQL, the SQL language into Java.
Okay,
that's
one thing. Maybe you can just fire the presentation in search. Maybe it helps. Just before, to answer, I'm not saying at any time that Hibernate or RMs don't work.
Okay, go on with that.
I'll take back those words. I'm not saying that they don't work because they may work for some use cases, but I think they are a bad pattern. They are a bad solution. There are far better solutions. As Windows may work as an operating system for some, it's probably not the best one for most of the use cases, right? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I think, like, for example, forgetting about your database and not working never as a DBA, you don't have to be a DBA. You can switch hats quickly and become a DBA. That will make your life better in general terms. That's what I was saying. You also had a question.
There was one thing I wanted to go back to.
Well, I agree. Does anyone, sorry,
what is
have a VGA adapter here? Or less, I need to go back to the room. Mac, VGA adapter?
Yeah, I think I have one.
Awesome.
Just the point that I like out of my ORM is that I can point it at my production database or at my test database, and all the objects will just work. I mean, because of that, it is a dumbed down SQL that calls MySQL or H2 or whatever. But I'm looking at the Duke examples here, and it's compiling the classes for MySQL. Does it support the idea of doing it for multiple connections, multiple databases, or do you then lock yourself into this one tag?
The Duke, it's DSL, and it supports many SQL dialects.
Okay.
So basically, it abstracts you from the database.
Do you need to generate multiple copies of your entities for that? Or?
No.
Okay.
The only thing that would lock you into a specific database is if you're using database-specific functionality. So if you use it to write recursive queries in the Postgres example, then you're pretty much locked into Postgres at that point.
But, so will it give me that option when I generate my entities to write a recursive query?
Well, you can write native queries. Yeah, so yeah, you can always switch from Hibernate to write native queries in SQL.
Oh no, I mean,
if you look at the documentation, I think the good example they have there is databases that support Pivot, which is like Oracle, and I think there's like one or two others.
Mm-hmm.
So if you write code that uses Pivot, then you're locked into using a database that supports that.
Right,
but.
So
you don't need to generate multiple copies of the code. You generate one copy, and then when you create a DSL context, and when you create the DSL context, you pass in a parameter that says which dialect you want to use.
Oh,
so you pass in kind of a Postgres, and that's something that you can you could have a configuration file that says controls how you do.
So it's the Oracle.
Like in our case, we just have it hard coded in the code.
Yeah.
But if you needed to run with multiple different databases, then you could parameterize
that. Okay. But I think another interesting point also is, should we be using SQL databases, right?
Yeah.
That's the other side of this is, and once again, it's trade-offs.
Yeah.
You're using Joule, right?
Yeah.
So I would like to come back to Chris' point. So everybody knows what's the pain in Hibernate, what's the pain in GPA. Maybe you tell us what's the pain in Joule.
Yeah. So like I said, it doesn't do the identity management caching stuff that an ORM does. And probably the biggest thing is the advantage for us is that it exposes the raw SQL to you. The downside is that it exposes the raw SQL. So your developers need to be fluent in SQL as well. If you've got guys who either aren't familiar with SQL or aren't familiar with writing efficient SQL, then you can end up shooting yourself in the foot. And one of the advantages of using an ORM is that in most cases, it's going to guarantee that you get reasonably efficient SQL generated. There's cases where it falls down. We've had examples of that here. Most of the time it does okay. It's not going to generate optimal code, but it's going to be reasonable. Using something like the Battis or Duke, it puts the responsibility for writing efficient data access code, efficient SQL, on the developers. So you very much have to, I guess, polyglot programming is the cool phrase that you have to do that. The language that you have to know as well as Java is SQL. So there's, that's definitely a potential downside depending on the development.
And if you like to optimize and make it faster, do you optimize SQL? Or,
yeah, definitely.
Or
yeah.
Do you have other abstract layer where you can...
No, we optimize in SQL.
Yeah. But when you
see the example, although it's written in Java, it's generally Java, it's very, very close. You can tell just from looking at it how that's going to map to SQL. It's very much just a Java rendering of the raw SQL.
And I'll also add that there are some features that are also not, it's, of course, it's not perfect, and there are some, 1 minute? 2 minutes?
11.
Wow. Yeah, I was thinking it was, well, it was just a smaller binary. Another pain point in Juke is that not all the SQL is supported. For example, some functions are not supported. There's, for example, a request ticket to support the string aggregation. So I create a function that returns an array. Array. So a function that returns an array, it's not supported yet. So if we want to return an array of data from the aggregate function, you cannot do it in Juke rather than in the time safe manner. OK, so if we have 2 minutes, I'll go very quickly through this. So it's directly to the code. So this is Juke. So you do basically a context. You get a context object, which is the Juke initialization. And then you can perform queries in a type safe manner. So this object, like country language code, country code, are elements and classes generated automatically by Juke by connecting to the database. So it connects to the database, inspects the metadata information, and generates this for you. And this is all set in the, you can set this into Maven, so it generates it directly only for the compile time. And for example, doing a select, you can see that the syntax is very fluent. It's like SQL, so you go to context.select. And then you have from, where, to, by, having, order, like almost anything you can do in SQL in this fluent syntax. So for example, in this case, I'm calling select. And then within select, I'm obtaining some data. Like for example, I'm calling first function, which is a list app. It basically generates an aggregated list, as you can guess, using this string, it's a concatenation item. And this is a window function you did. Who was asking about that? So this is a window function. Like in this case, I'm doing this aggregate ordering by country code. So I get a nicely concatenated string over this order, right? And I call that the countries. So I'm trying to use this example. By the way, this example is on GitHub, so it's open source. And it's part of this tutorial. So you can concatenate based on this field. So you're calling here. I'm showing this example because you're calling a function. You're using a window function. You're renaming the output as in the as SQL query. You're also querying a regular call. And you're calling an aggregate function, also renaming it. So it's showing a lot of things you can do here. Then you're querying from a given table. Of course, this is Java code, so it's validated. If it compiles, it's correct. It's correct, it doesn't mean it works. It's in fact that it's correct. Yeah. Nothing. It's a sprint. It's not doing the right thing for sure. Where clause group by, because this is an aggregate query, so we need to group by for those fields that are not aggregates, in this case language. With a having clause, where we're filtering over an average field of the percentage that is greater or equal than percentage, it's an argument to the method, and ordering it in the descending order. So this is basically it. It's very simple. And
do you see the SQL outcome of it, or how do you debug that?
Very easily, because right now this is just basically executing the query. You can just return a query, generate and print it or debug it or whatever, log in.
Okay. Can super just 2 lines of code, so 3 times. So I don't see the point why using Juke and not the SQL for that.
Well, first of all, because it's validated in compile time. That's a great advantage.
But on the other hand, just a simple test would validate it, right? You know, like...
Oh, not at all. I mean, you mean validating SQL? That's very complex.
I mean, having an integration test that just executes that, the tools that get countries, language, method, right, would instantly tell you whether that SQL statement was.
Yeah, in an ideal world where everybody tests everything.
Yeah, but it's just kind of funny, I mean, because, you know, I can imagine sitting with an SQL tool, creating that query and making it work, right? And then I actually then have to go rewrite that query in some language that mirrors SQL. It's kind of a...
Why don't you do it right here in first place?
But aren't you doing that more or less with Hibernate also when you do a query? I mean, and
yeah, but well, I guess I'm putting on my SQL hat. I'm a DBA now, right? Because you're telling me that that's the only way to be, but you won't let me actually write any SQL. So it's interesting, but I might start missing SQL.
I'd like to ask if it's possible to write with this API dynamic SQL. Maybe it depends on some values the user inserts or something like that.
Yeah, the thing is that here this is Java code, so you can stop and generate dynamically whatever. You can do a for statement at any point in the query to generate these dynamic objects.
Okay, yes.
That's one of the main advantages over MyBatis, because MyBatis you can do some of that stuff. But not everything. Here it's programmatically, purely programmatically.
Yeah, I know it's SQL combining with in this XML, it was sometimes complicating.
Yes.
This is a major garbage collection box. We have to wrap up soon, guys. But it's over.
All right. What I'll do is, if you're interested, I'll share with anyone the address. Well, if you go to GitHub/8 as a number, k data, you'll find this. Thanks.